Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Christ the King Redemptive Ministries Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. I, along with my husband, Apostle Christopher McQueen, would like to take the time to thank you for joining us. I am your hostess, Prophetess Crystal McQueen. We want to invite you to share with us as we study the Word of God. It is our purpose to help you grow, mature, be healed, and prosper by teaching you the Word of God. We encourage you to get involved with the lesson. You may call into the show at 1-718-766-4583 or join in with the chat sessions during the show. We welcome your questions, comments, and prayer requests. Please visit us at our website at www.ctkr.org. This is a helpful place for you to learn about us and help us expand the kingdom of God. There you can become a partner with us and see our upcoming events. We are looking forward to sharing the Word of God with you. Be blessed in the Lord and enjoy the broadcast.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God bless you all. I'm Apostle Christopher McQueen.
I'm Prophetess McQueen.
Of Christ the King Redemptive Ministries. And this is the Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. We're so happy that you will join us today. We know that there's a word from the Lord for you. Before we get too far into our opening, I want to quickly turn it over to Prophetess Crystal McQueen and let her give us our morning announcements and lead us in our morning prayer. Prophetess Crystal.
Good morning, everybody. Once again, God bless you and welcome to Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. This morning's announcements are as follows. Every Tuesday at 7 p.m. and every Saturday at 10:30 a.m., join us for Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast with none other than Apostle Christopher McQueen. On Thursdays at 7 p.m., join me for Prophetic Atmosphere. And you can hear us live at www.ctkr.org. That is also our website. We ask that you would visit us and also pray about becoming a vision partner with this ministry, helping us to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world. As many of you may already know, we also have Facebook pages. Please go to our Facebook page, Women of Prophetic Destiny or Christ the King Redemptive Ministry. Leave your prayer requests and your praise reports. Also pray about supporting the ministries that we have under our covering that are overseas that are also doing a mighty work for the Lord. The big news, October 18th and 19th, 2013, I'm personally inviting you to join me for my Women of Prophetic Destiny Conference. This year's theme, Don't Abort Your Assignment. It's going to be a power-packed meeting, 2 days, praise, worship, the word, teaching, the anointing, deliverance, signs, wonders, and miracles.
Yes.
I want to see you there. And it's going to be hosted at Greater St. Paul Missionary Baptist Church, located at 213 Stone Street. That's Greater St. Paul Missionary Baptist Church, 213 Stone Street in Cocoa, Florida. Also, you can find that information if you go to our website, www.ctkr.org. Go to my WOPD tab, click there, and you'll see the flyer and all the information. I'm also asking that you would register for this as well. We are excited to hear from you, and we want to see you and pray that God that receive everything that God has for you. Amen? And those are the announcements for today. Let us pray. Father, right now, in Jesus' name, you are worthy of all the praise and all the glory. God, I thank you for your protection. I thank you for your strength and your power. I thank you for your anointing this morning. Father, I thank you that we're able to come into the house of the Lord one more time to begin to praise and honor you. Father, even now in Jesus' name, before we begin this service, we ask that you would just wash us in your blood. We ask all sin that is in our lives, forgive us now, wash us and cleanse us, make us whole and righteous in the name of Jesus. Father, even as a man of God begins to deliver this word, Father, we ask that you would be to shine your light up on him right now in Jesus' name. God, we pray that you would begin to give him wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Open our ears that we may hear what Spirit has to say unto the church. God, that we will not walk left or right, but that we will stay on the path that you have already assigned and predestined for us. Father, we thank you right now that you're bringing understanding and clarity, deliverance, healing. We thank you right now that you're bringing souls into the kingdom. We bless your name, you're holy, and you're righteous. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen and amen. Thank you for the awesome prayer. We are grateful to God for the ability that he's giving you to enter into his presence and to change the atmosphere. Let me just say something concerning the Women of Prophetic Destiny Conference that is coming. You don't want to miss this. I mean, there's no other way to really say it, and I'll tell you that we dealt with several conferences, had several conferences and the like, and this is one that I could tell you that the Holy Spirit has really put their signet upon, and I'm excited about what is about to happen. Those who are going to come to be a part of it, you're going to experience a move of God unlike any other. This is really the event that you want to come to. We're in Central Florida, on the East Coast, Space Coast, if you will, in Cocoa, Florida. And thank God for Pastor David Bryant of the Greater St. Paul Missionary Baptist Church, who has graciously opened up their doors to allow us to have a conference there. When you hear show that Greater St. Paul Missionary Baptist Church, it's not Greater St. Paul's event, it's our event. We're using the facilities there. But thank God, Pastor Bryant, who has allowed us to use the facilities. And there's some things, I mean, there are some things that are going to occur at this conference. Listen, you can hear about it, but better than that, you need to come and experience for yourself. And I promise you, you will not leave like you came. Amen. You will leave better than you came. And that's really what the purpose is, or what the point is. Mm-hmm. You don't want to go to a conference and at the end of the conference, like, okay, well, we came.
Right.
You know, and I can tell you, I've been to many a conference, and at the very end, it was like, oh, okay, well, we came. And that's about all that we really got out of it. Well, here, this conference, the support that we have, the people who are coming to sing, those who are coming to minister, in song and in word, all of them are really excited. The Holy Spirit is speaking and, you know, letting us know that he is pleased with what is happening, what's going on. And that means that he's already set in place or set in motion the blessings that are going to be poured out. I'm excited about that.
Yes,
that means that it makes it easy for us to minister the word of God, because we know then that God is already a man, the event. So you really want to be there. Contact us if you have questions. Go to our website, www.ctkr. There's two ways you can do it. Go to the WOPD tab and click on that. You'll see Women of Prophetic Destiny. If you hover your mouse over it, click it, it'll take you to the temporary website that we have up. But on that website, there is a registration that you could fill out to let us know that you're coming. If you need hotel information, let us know. We can let you know the hotels that are in the area and the rates and everything else, so that you can come and be a part of this and enjoy yourself. I'm looking forward to a powerful move of God. And I believe that if you come with a spirit of expectancy, you're going to get something great from God as well. Amen. So let's get into this word then. We've been dealing in Colossians, Philippians, Ephesians, and we've been dealing with the character, our Christian character. And I believe that it's important for us to understand that God looks at our character and the way that we carry ourselves a lot differently than we look at character and the way that we carry ourselves. A lot of times what happens is the Lord would tell us to do certain things and we'll barter with them, if you will. The Lord says, go do X, Y, and Z. And we're like, well, Lord, you know, and we give him all of that belly aching, all of that, you know, a mouthful of what we feel, you know, the proper way to go. But now, if you're telling me, you know, to go over there because, you know, miracle signs, when it's going to happen and people going to be shouting my name, yeah, I'm ready for that. But if you tell me that in order for me to go over there so I can go through, so people can see that I have suffered for you, and then miracle signs and wonders occur, I'm going to ask you if we can just the last part.
Miracle signs and wonders.
Miracle signs and wonders. Can I just have the miracle signs and wonders for 1,000? Listen, it doesn't work like that. If you look, Jesus Christ, he saw the different disciples, chose each one of them, saw the flaws, knew what was going on with them, and worked them out to the point where we say the great apostles of the word, of the Bible. But who were they to start with? They were nothing like the apostles we preach about today. So we have to understand that he calls you in your mess, but then he develops you and helps you to mature out of that mess. Your character is what he's trying to change into his character. Your likeness he's trying to change into his likeness. And see, when we start talking about this, then it says to the listener, it says you have to begin to deny yourself. We're looking at the Old Testament. We'll begin to see that there's many times where God will come and begin to deal with the children of Israel based on the fact that they have left him in his will, his ways, his precepts, and began to follow after foreign entities and other gods. And he said, because you have done so, I will turn you over to yourself. I will turn you over to your enemies. When you call, the day that you call, I will not hear, I will not answer. But yet I love you. Yet I will come and I will redeem you. I will not leave you. I will not turn from you forever. I will turn back to you. I will call you. I will woo you back in because I have loved you with an everlasting love. And what some of us have done is we've taken that and said, well, Lord, if you're going to bring me back in eventually, I'm going to go ahead and do what I want to do. Because after all, you're going to come and get me anyhow if I get too far. Brothers and sisters, don't fool yourself.
I know that's right.
There was at that time, you know, in a different dispensation, there was not the ability that we have today. We have not, they did not have the blood of Jesus to apply to their sins. Right. We have that now. Okay. They did not have redemption based on the everlasting Father's mediation through the Son to the Father. We have that now. Okay. Now, with that, what am I saying with this? I'm saying that, you know, when you look at it, we're in a different place, a different time. Okay. Back then, God would send an army out. He would send a king out, a nation out, and they would oppress the children of Israel for the sins. Now we're living under grace, and because that army has not come, the king has not risen up and oppressed us, as we would say, then we feel that God has looked, you know, at our sins as if it's that bad. Someone said something to me. They said, If God wants me to change, why doesn't he just open up heaven and tell me, you know, I need you to change? Well, the problem is that he has opened up heaven. He's shown the man, the woman of God, who covered your soul, whose life is going to be healed. The requirement of your life is going to be healed concerning them and how they treated you. Did they tell you the truth? Did they do what needs to be done? They're going to, you know, if let me digress. The pastor's job is to look out for your soul, and God is going to require your soul at their hands. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So God speaks to the pastor concerning you. Mm-hmm. Not only does he speak to the pastor concerning you, he speaks to you concerning you.
That's true.
And many times what happens is God has already spoken to you before the pastor gets to you, but you didn't want to hear God. And the pastor is right here, and you can touch them. So what happens is when you begin to touch or hear the word of God through the pastor, then you begin to refute the word of God through the pastor. But you just said, Lord, if you want me to change, why don't you open up heaven and tell me? And he did open up heaven. He opened up heaven and spoke to your pastor. You see that? Your pastor then says, the Lord told me to tell you. So you've heard it from him. God has revealed it, because opening up heaven is a revelation. Amen?
Amen.
So he revealed it to your spiritual leader what you should be doing. Now your job is to follow that leadership. Follow what's going on. Do what he says. And when you do, then you'll find out that you'll walk into some truths. You'll walk into some blessings. You'll walk into some benefits. I said it before, every spiritual blessing in heavenly places is already ours in Christ Jesus. But the thing is that you have to understand who you are and get to your place. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
And once you get to your place, then you can begin to see some things. Let's go here in Colossians 3. Where we were, and we had, of course, gone to, as I said, we've been Colossians, Ephesians, Philippians, Romans. We just want to look at a few things here. Amen.
Amen.
When we see this, it says, if you then, 3:1, if you then were raised with Christ,
yes,
seek those things which are above.
Mm-hmm.
And our character has to be of those who love God because he's God. I'm so focused on pleasing God that I'm afraid to mess up. See, the fear of messing up, mm-hmm, is I don't want him to say, you know, I trusted you with my anointing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I trusted you with the grace that I placed upon your life. The Holy Spirit was moving through you, and yet still, you went your own way. You did your own thing. So I'm disappointed in you. I just want to, and I'm going to say it like the song, I just want to please Jesus and all I see and do. Yeah, I went way back. I just want to please Jesus. How about you? See, when my job, or when I'm pleasing him, then I know that he is pleased with me, he'll make sure that I'm pleased with him. Lord, I wish y'all could get the revelation of that. When I'm working to make sure that he's pleased with me, he'll make sure that I'm pleased with him.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm seeking the things, those things which are above, amen?
Amen.
Where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. It tells us that there are some things that are above that I need to be seeking after.
Mm-hmm.
that are going to help me establish some things on the earth. Amen?
Amen.
Let's look at this here in Matthew. Amen.
Amen.
Matthew 6. All right, here we go, Matthew 6 and 9. In this matter, therefore, pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done, 10 first, on earth as it is in heaven. Now, that means that there's some things that we have to do here on earth because God has already decreed, declared it, and set it in place in heaven. We go back and we look at the building of the tabernacle or the building of the tabernacle, then we begin to see that everything that Moses had to deal with concerning what was where and how long it should be, how high, what color it should be, all of those things were mirrors of what was already in heaven. So God told him what he wanted for his earthly tabernacle based on things that were already established in heaven. Amen.
Yeah.
So when we see that, then we see the mercy seat. Where is Jesus Christ? He sits at the right hand of the Father, and he mediates for us. You see that? His blood is what he used to mediate for us.
Mm-hmm.
So that, and there's many others that I could go through, but for the sake of time, I'll just leave you with that one right there. When Jesus went to the cross, it was the shedding of his blood. Amen. That was symbolic. But if we go back, it was the shedding of the blood of goats and sheep and oxen that was symbolic for the redemption of man. So what would happen is when we sin, we have to bring a sin offering. And it was slain, and the blood, therefore, was taken and sprinkled on a mercy seat to cover our sins. We could be redeemed back into our good favors. Amen. When Jesus came once and for all, he shed his blood. Amen. Now he sits, amen, in the mercy seat. His blood speaks for us for all times now. So we see that it was something that was already established that we had to manifest here on earth. And so it is here when we begin to look at this. Then if you are raised with Christ, seek those things which are above. Lord, what have you done or what have you established already in heaven, established in the heavens that I have to manifest here on the earth? Because when you understand that, then you'll stop looking at earthly things to see what you could do. And you'll start looking at God to see what God has already done that we have to manifest here. Well, I always wanted to do this and I always wanted to do that. Well, that's good. That's good. Peradventure, you could do that. To do the will of God first. See, the thing that I found, and I always shared this, is that I always wanted to be a professional musician, traveling, playing, and doing everything else. And that's what I wanted to do. But God wanted me to deal with ministry. And because I wasn't willing to try to run after ministry, what he did was he put me in a place where it was either or. When I said yes to him, then he allowed my music as well as my ministry to begin to flourish.
Mm-hmm.
See, God doesn't want to restrict your dreams. He's the one who gave them to you.
Yeah.
But your dream cannot take precedence over the will of God. In other words, as you do what God called you to do, you'll find that you'll hit everything on your bucket list. Amen?
Amen.
Isn't God good?
No.
So when we read here and we see in Matthew 6 and 10, your kingdom come. You notice this broadcast is called Kingdom Lifestyle. The thing about the kingdom is it's the king's domain. It's where he has authority, rule, influence, where he has dominion. Amen. And when we look at that, then we see that wherever I am, the king has dominion because I represent the kingdom. I am an ambassador of the kingdom of God. Amen.
Amen.
And greater than that, I am a child of God, which makes me heir. Amen.
Yes.
Huh? And Jesus Christ is a joint heir. We're joint heirs with Jesus Christ. There's some things that you need to realize and recognize as it relates to your authority in God. Amen. Amen. And stop walking around waiting for somebody to help you. Amen. When you're supposed to be the help. Huh? I think, I can't remember the movie I was looking at, but the thing was is that they got in there and they were all depending on the one person to show up who's supposed to be the savior, who's going to rescue everybody, and the person gets there and they're looking for somebody to rescue them. And everyone's looking at them like, but you're the one supposed to be rescuing us. And they're like, I don't know what to do. But listen, that's how we look as children of God. When we're supposed to be the one who walk in authority and we show up looking for someone in authority. When we're supposed to be the ones showing up to with the answer, which is Jesus, and we show up looking for the answer.
That's true.
Huh? 15 years as a police officer, one thing was made very clear to me that we're, and that is this, wherever I am, there's always one weapon. I brought it with me. Well, wherever you go, the authority is with you because you brought it with you. In the name of Jesus, huh? All things have to become subject, amen, to God, amen? So, as I was saying, there's some things that have to be done on earth, manifested on earth, that are already done in heaven. Amen? Let's go back to Colossians. So then how do I do this? How do I really focus on this, huh? Well, first of all, you have to understand that your desires are not carnal things. Huh? Think out for cars, houses, and other things. God allows us to go out and have different things and puts favor upon us so that we can go and do certain things in our lives. And it's beautiful. It's wonderful. Amen. Thank God for it. But the things don't substitute the relationship. That means that my relationship with God is paramount to everything else. You understand what I'm saying here? It means that if my relationship, I told you at the very beginning, get this in your mind. If I please him, huh? If my ways please the Lord, he'll make sure that he pleases me. Okay? As I please him, he'll make sure that I'm pleased with him. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
So that means that as I'm seeking and serving God, his will, his design, his desires for my life, his agenda, his plan, his purpose in the earth, then he'll make sure that when it's time for the car shows up.
Yeah,
when it's time
yeah.
for the house shows up. Huh? When it's time for the clothes and the money and the other things and the other influences and affluence of my life, then he'll make sure that I have all of those things. Amen? Listen, you can't miss anything in the perfect will of God because your fulfillment is already set in his plan. What we do is we leave his plan trying to find fulfillment. What we find is want and desire. Huh? We find wishes. But if you are in his will, you will find satisfaction.
Amen.
You hear my wife and I say this a lot. John 3rd chapter 34th verse. It says, my will is to do or my food is to do the work of him who sent me, or do the will of him who sent me, and complete his work. Okay? So as we're doing that, we're doing is we're learning that God has a way, God has a will, God has a desire and design for our life, and our satisfaction. Notice Jesus said food. That means that at your base, desires, your appetite, your hunger, all of that is set in the will of God to do his will and to complete his work. You think about the best dessert you can have. and then think about completing his work. And completing his work will always be better than that dessert.
Amen.
You understand? You can sit back and tell them, oh, and they drill soaked that and then put that and it just had little crumblies of, uh-huh. Well, guess what? When you complete his work, that thing is shallow in comparison. Amen? So if I set my mind on things above, that means I'm focused on him in prayer. I'm meditating. I'm in the Word of God. I'm listening to the Spirit. I'm looking to see what he's showing me. I pray a prayer and all the time I say, Lord, touch my eyes that I can see in the Spirit. Touch my ears that I can hear in the Spirit. But touch my mind that I can comprehend and understand what you're showing me and what you're saying to me in the Spirit. It's not enough to just hear without comprehending what you heard. It's not enough to see without perceiving what you saw. Amen. You have to be able to see and hear, amen, according to what God has set and designed for you. If God is showing you something and you don't get it correctly, you'll apply it wrongly. Amen. You see that? And if you apply it wrong, then that means that there'll be some other issues later. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
So let's get clarity. Amen. So as we set our minds on things above and not on things on the earth, amen, we'll find that there's some other things that go on. Amen. Look what it says here in Matthew 6:19-21. Amen. You've heard it say this before. It says, do not lay up for yourself treasures on the earth where the moth and the rust destroy and where the thieves break in. Amen?
Amen.
You see that? When we begin to deal with this, then we begin to see really that he's telling us, you know, it's not in this material stuff that you're going to get your treasure and your wealth. Just as quick as you get it, it starts to depreciate. Everyone knows that no matter how expensive the car is, once you pay for it and you drive it off the lot, it depreciated from the curb to the street. You understand? So when you come back on the lot, say, you know, I changed my mind. They're like, well, you know, we have an issue now. Well, didn't I just pay? Yeah, but, you know, that was yesterday's. But today's the same day. It doesn't even matter.
Mm-mm.
Amen? Huh? So if I'm laying up treasure for myself and I'm focused on these earthly things, then I can't get the things that God has for me, which includes the earthly things. Amen? Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you guys. Oh. Oh.
Now we're getting down to it.
Oh. For you die. And your life is hidden
mm-hmm.
with Christ in God. Hold on. I just got to go back here for just a minute. Ephesians 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Just as he knows us in him before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy and without blame, huh? Before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself. We're talking about what the Father did in bringing us in to his holy family through Jesus, amen? According to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. Amen.
Amen.
What is our purpose? To be to the praise and the glory of his grace.
Amen.
The Father wants his children to look good. But he wants his children to act good. And the first thing you have to understand is if you're going to act right, then you can't be focused on stuff down here. If you're focused on stuff down here, then you'll act like stuff down here. Yeah?
Amen.
You become extension of your environment. Amen. That means your environment full of filth and mess, then guess what? You'll be filth and mess before long.
That's true.
I didn't understand it until I got older. Amen. why my parents didn't want me hanging around certain young people. They would see them and notice what they were doing, and then they would pull me aside and say, listen, I don't want you over there with, you know. And I was like, why? You know, they said, hey, don't ask me why. Obey what I said. And if I catch you over there, there's going to be problems. And you know, I know I'm not alone in this. I'll go over there to whoever they said don't be around, trying to figure out why I don't need to be around. Now, how many of you know that some people will get you in trouble, leave you holding a bag, go off whistling like they ain't never getting a... And here you are standing there looking like Boo-Boo the Clown while everybody running over to you asking you what you did. And you're like, I ain't do nothing. They said, well, you're holding the evidence. Holding whatever. What's it? No, somebody asked me to hold this. Who was it? I'm not going to tell you they're my friends. They're not your friends. Guess what? Who gets in trouble? You did. And when your parents come get you, they say, didn't I tell you not to be around such and so? See, we think we know so much better than those who are over us. If God placed them there, then God has given them the grace to see what you need to be doing or not doing. Amen. I'm not talking about those who use their children for personal gain. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about those who have no interest in their child until the child demonstrates some type of gift or talent that they can benefit from, and now they all in. Amen. You can ask a lot of these basketball, football, you know, players who ain't seen pawpaw since. You know, and here they get a contract, and out the woodwork come, yeah, the father of. They're like, what you been all my life? Oh, you know, there's some things just. But I'm here for you now, son. I'm just so proud of you. You should have been proud of me when I was trying to win high school championships and stuff. I didn't see you at a game. Mm-hmm. Amen? Huh? When you're focused on things down here, you'll have regrets. And when you finally get ready to make it, all of those regretful things will show up to your current victory and try to steal your spoils. Amen? So the first thing you have to understand is, number one, is that if, in Colossians 3:3, for if you die, okay, then if you die, then there's certain things from your past that shouldn't have an effect on you.
Yeah. True.
If you die, there's certain things from your past that should not have an effect on you. You know, it's interesting. I'm going to go to my wife and I on our wedding day, day before our wedding. Here I am getting ready for the biggest commitment of my life besides my commitment to Christ. And my wife gets a phone call, you know, and the person says, you know, I need to talk to you. And she said, you know, me and Chris been going out since, you know, and I don't believe that he's trying to marry you now when he said he's going to marry me. Something like that. Now, I didn't know that this conversation happened. And if I would have known when I saw the person sitting at the wedding talking about congratulations, I've been like, you know what? I don't even know why you're here. Thank God I didn't know. I would have ruined a beautiful day. Amen. I wasn't as mature in Christ as I am now then. So I found out later that, you know, that conversation happened. But let's look at the fact that it happened. This wasn't somebody that I had been intimate with, haven't shared personal secrets with. We had no skeletons in our closet. There was never even a thought like that. As a matter of fact, the young lady, from what I understood, my best friend at the time was trying to talk to her, and she was playing hard to get with him. So my whole thing was, you know, you wasn't interested in me. You was interested in my best friend. Until I'm getting ready to get married, and then here she show up, revealing her feelings all along. As if I had known and been part of it. And that is what happens when, you know, things from your past come to your present trying to get validation. What would have happened if I would have validated those feelings? What would have happened if I would have even addressed those feelings? My wife would tell you to this day, I still haven't said anything concerning that conversation to this person. Because sometimes you don't need to address mess. Ooh, thank you, Jesus. Here you are. The Lord has elevated you. The Lord has opened your eyes. He's taking you places, and things are starting to happen in your life. And here comes some mess from your past trying to defer and derail your present so you can't get to your destiny. And sometimes you have to just realize that somebody put a quarter on the railroad track of your destiny and just run over it and make it flatter than it was when they set it there in the first place. It can't stop you.
Amen.
And sometimes it's not big enough to even have you'll notice that it was there, but it's not even on your radar. Amen. It's not an obstacle. It's an overcoming. Amen. And some of you have stopped at the obstacle. God help us. Listen, if God has already given you the momentum to overcome, don't stop at the obstacle.
Amen.
Go over it.
Amen.
If the obstacle tries to get in the way, you have the momentum. Go through it.
Amen.
But don't stop at it. So if I have died, then there are things from my past that I don't respond to. You notice how when you make a decision, and you say, look, I'm going to do X, Y, and Z. This is what I'm going to do. Okay? And you say, I'm going to do X, Y, and Z. And you always wanted to do A, B, and C. That after you make the commitment to X, Y, and Z, A, B, and C come around the corner. Hey, guess what? I was just wondering. Now you're sitting there trying to figure out which way you want to go.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you're a child of God, you already put your word out. And for his word to have validation, your word has to have validation.
Amen.
Integrity. If you said it, stick to it. Tell A, B, and C, I already made a commitment. Sorry, I really want to be there. How many times have I wanted to travel or go somewhere, but made a commitment, and when they came to me and say, hey, can you come and play? Can you come do this? I'm like, oh, wow, man, I can't. I already told them I'll be over here for this. Oh, man. Who's hoping, you know, can you get somebody else for that? I would look. No, I can't do that. You know, the next time I have to try to go. I have to try to do it. Let me know ahead of time, man. You know, that way, what I'm doing is I'm saying, listen, I really want to go, and I can't because I made a commitment.
Mm-hmm.
Hear what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I made a commitment. Then what happens is God begins to pour down his presence, his spirit, at the commitment that I made.
Mm-hmm.
He respects the fact that I respected my word. So he begins to bless me for that committed word. And they come back talking about, man, that was all janky and moody. That was terrible. Oh, we couldn't hear, or it was too loud, or they didn't know what they was doing. They messed it up. And how did y'all go? Man, the power of God fell. We were slain in the spirit. Now, which place would I rather be in? That means that there are certain things that come, that will try to pull you away from your destiny or design purpose. Amen? And you have to remain true to God. So if I'm dead, number two, I can't be swayed by things that are trying to pull me back to life. So if I died to a situation, died to a relationship, died to personal desires or desires that weren't godly, then when the opportunity comes for those things to be realized, I can't go fulfill them. Mm-hmm. Look at your neighbor, just say, I died.
I died.
I wish I could preach this to a bigger audience. Amen. Y'all going to have to just get this later. Amen. I died. I died. If I died, then why am I so aligned to it? Maybe we need to remember that I died and you know, I can't be resuscitated by worldly things. I have to be resuscitated in the spirit. Understanding that when I'm resuscitated in the spirit, because I died to this life, but I'm alive in Christ. That means that when I died to this, then it can't bring me back to life. Amen. Number three, the things of this world that would try to find me shouldn't be able to dig up my dead bones, dig up my dead body.
That's good.
Because they're going to come looking for you.
Yes, they are.
People want proof of your death. You would think that a headstone would suffice, but no, they want to actually see the body. Yeah. So every once in a while, someone comes looking for your skeleton. And guess what? They shouldn't be able to find it. Mm-hmm. You know why? Because once you die, just like Moses, God took your body and hid it. That means that in order for your body to be found, they got to find where God hid it. And we know where it's hidden. Amen? Don't we? Let's read on. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. So that means that in order for them to bring you back to life, they got to get through Jesus Christ in God. Look at your neighbor and say, that's not happening.
That's not happening.
Oh, I wish I could run right now, because that means that I'm not bound by anything in my past that the blood has covered, because there's no way to resuscitate it. It doesn't affect me. And even if you go looking for it, it's already been hidden in Christ, in God. That means I can live my life without worrying about the rattling of the bones in my closet. Amen? Because when the bones try to rattle, you can't hear it because God has hushed them up. Do you know what else happens? What else happens is that the life that you now live begins to bring so much glory to the Father that God begins to validate and keep those bones hidden. Do you not, have you ever noticed that people who have great anointings have great testimony of things that we look at them and can't even fathom that they went through or that they even did? Women who are preaching the gospel and winning souls to Christ left and right will tell you that I went through abuses and I sold myself and I did this and I had I was known as this of that and this of that, and I had substance abuses to the point where I looked like just skin on bones and did anything for my next fix. But guess what? God saved me. He cleaned me up, and you're looking at them and they're living full whole lives with an anointing on their life to bring out others who are bound in sin. Do you understand that your past is not your eulogy? Your past is the proof that the blood still works.
Amen.
Thank God for Jesus. What would happen if we actually took that and ran with it? Stop making excuses for bad behavior based on your past. Well, you know, I've always had problems here. But that's because you never fully applied the blood. I tried to apply the blood. But as soon as you begin to go through the process of change, you decided that you wanted to hold on to what you already had. Because sometimes people like the misery that they're in. But I'm here to tell you that the blood of Jesus works. It will cleanse you. It will bring you out. Huh? It will establish you. It will clean you up. Huh? To tell people, you know, I used to be a drug dealer. I used to be a drug user, or I used to be an alcoholic, or I used to be a pimp, or I was the prostitute, or I was the thief, I was the robber, I was a murderer. To go through all of that and say, this is who I was. This is where God saved me from. But look at me now. God has saved me. God has given me a word. God has given me a fire in my belly. I'm preaching the gospel, an anointing over my life. And I don't care what the devil brings at me. I've seen the worst already. And I know that the blood can cover me and keep me. And in the name of Jesus, I take authority over it. Do you know that that is the greatest testimony? Your past doesn't hinder you. Your past empowers you to do the work that God called you to do. So what? You were promiscuous when you were young. But now that you're older, you're chaste. Now go back and talk to young people who are starting to act promiscuous and tell them, But you don't even know. Yes, I do. I know more than I'm going to ever tell you. Huh? But you don't have to go down that road. Do you know that your testimony of where you came from will always be greater than how the enemy tries to use it against you? Oh, I wish I had time to preach this. Huh? Because when you understand this, then you understand that there's a reason why your life is hidden with Christ. It's hidden with Christ because why it's hidden with Christ, your old life died. We're resurrected into the new life with Christ. And all the spiritual blessings that are ours are given to us in the heavenly places in Christ. Amen. So while we're with Christ in God, we can get everything that he has for us. I share it with you all, and I share it with a few other people, that scripture, Ephesians 1:3, lets us know one thing. It lets us know that all spiritual blessings are already ours. The problem is that we have to mature into receiving it. And when we don't want to go through the process, when we don't want to go through change, when we don't want to go through development, amen, then we have a hard time getting what God has for us. Because he can't hand you the keys to something you're not ready to obtain. Mm-hmm. Huh? Before you get the keys to obtain it, God makes sure that you have the resources to maintain it. Amen?
Amen.
So you're looking for it, and God's saying, I just want you to grow up in me. Trust me. You know, when people come talking about, yeah, Doc, I remember when. I said, you know what? That's a shame that you're still back there when God has moved us so far ahead. Isn't it a shame that you can't see what God is doing for remembering what I did? And if I'm doing this, then hasn't God moved me well from there? What in your life do you wish that you could move on from? Well, guess what? While you hold me at that place, you're still stuck there. You see that? Mm-hmm. As you release others, you're free to be released. Oh, God. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
I'm free. Why do I need to? Why do I need to realize all this? Well, let's read this last part. That's in our last few minutes. It says, "When Christ was our life." Thank you, Jesus. Look at your neighbor and say, Christ is my life.
Christ is my life.
I'll say it again. Christ is my life.
Christ is my life.
See, we're going to church. Ooh, y'all ain't got no life. Y'all always in church. I'm sorry to disappoint your mentality and your perception, but I'm living. Christ is my life. I love everything about him. You know, I love him so much that even when I got to go through stuff and it's difficult, I don't see that it's difficult. I see that he loved me enough to even give me the grace to go through it. Isn't that interesting? That even in my hardships in this life, I still love him the same. Through the end part of everything I've gone through, I learned so much more about him that I love him more. In my close, Prophetess and I were talking, and she was sharing something from a friend of ours, Bishop Rudolph McKissick Jr. And he said, you know, I've been going through certain different things in my body. He said, and I went to seminary, and seminary taught me about God. He said, but I didn't really learn anything about God until I started going through things. And as he's brought me through each and every one of them, I know him now. And now that I know God, and not just know about God, I love him more and more. How many of you can really say that? Are you blaming God for things that have happened in your life? Are you faulting God for difficulties in your life? Lord, if you just came and I called you, then I wouldn't have to experience the pain of my brother's death. Are you still Mary Magdalene? Huh? Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. And do you understand the wisdom and the power of the answer? Your brother died so that the glory of the Lord could be revealed. Are you able to go through it when it's not comfortable? Lord, help us. Help us to understand that we live for you. We're not living for ourselves. Mm-hmm. Our focus isn't on our desires, our wants. It's not our grand ambitions. We're building the kingdom of God. We're fulfilling the will of our Father. We're working out our soul salvation with fear and trembling. We're doing what we are called to do. Lord, help us, help us, help us to see what we should be doing here. And do what you called us to do without reservation, without apprehension. Lord, help us not to discuss and try to barter with you concerning your will, but to simply be your children and be obedient children. Lord, we're missing out on so much because we refuse to simply do what you say. Help us, Lord, to see it and to understand it and to go forward. Lord, open our eyes that we can see. Open our ears that we can hear. But greater than that, touch our minds so that we can comprehend what you're showing us and what you're saying to us. We have work to do. Help us to get to it in the name of Jesus and live the life that we live for you. Our life is hidden in you. Help us to remember that while we're trying to show people how we live. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Now, Lord, I pray for anyone who's not saved. I pray that they would pray this prayer. Father, forgive me of my sins. Wash me in the blood of Jesus. I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. Thank you, Father, for salvation in the name of Jesus. Lord, if they prayed that prayer, I pray that you lead them to a Bible teaching, a Bible believing church, where they may be matured and developed in the name of Jesus. I pray right now, Lord, for the sick, the shut in. I pray for those who are oppressed. I pray for those, Lord, who need miracles to manifest in their lives, healing to manifest in their lives. Mm-hmm. Oh God, I pray for the Cabrera family right now. I pray for those that are under our covering. The churches, the orphanages, the schools that are around the world in the name of Jesus. Lord, that you would meet every need, every resource, Lord, we're praying for them to come forth now in the name of Jesus. I pray for the manifestation of your power in the earth. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth. Help us, Lord, to complete our part. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen and amen. Amen. Listen. Go to our website, www.ctkr.org. There you'll learn more about us. We are currently redoing the website. and upgrading some things. Bear with us as we do so. But you can still learn a lot about us and go on to become a vision partner with us. Help us to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world. I'm Apostle Christopher McQueen.
I'm Prophetess McQueen.
Of Christ the King Redemptive Ministries, reminding you that it's God's will for you to live this kingdom lifestyle. Be blessed in the name of the Lord. Come on, let's give God a praise.
Hallelujah.